Okay, we just did the roll call. First up, we have our Pledge of Allegiance. So if you all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So I would accept a motion to adopt our agenda for tonight's meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. And after we just approved this, I realize we're just going to switch a little bit here. And because we are so fortunate to have our school resource officers with us here tonight, and because there's kind of a large crowd and we know that they have lots of, they need to be making sure that Marysville is safe, we'd like to go ahead and recognize them now. So
if you remember last year, obviously we passed two really important issues for the school district, and one of them was a little more difficult to explain in shifting funds from what would be in bond collection to PI dollars. And part of that PI dollar was to increase our SRO presence in the buildings. So I thought it was important for the board to see faces, names, understand roles. So I asked Don McGlynn to come and bring his team, even sent a reminder to him this week. Don, do you want to come up and introduce everyone? Do you mind doing that?
Yeah, I can do that.
And kind of their role.
I would have gone all the way to the corner.
Don actually, so we're fortunate to have all of these people help us in great ways. And I would consider Don part-time SRO at Tri-Academy. I think he's personally assigned there and helping with students as well. So it's a great collaboration that we have with the police department. Very fortunate to work together with them.
Yeah. So basically how we set it up is we have an SRO at both of the high schools. We have one at Bunsell. We have one at Creekview. And then what we do is we rotate through the elementary. So we've tried to do some different programming in the elementaries. At Mill Valley, we go over and eat breakfast with some of the kids on Tuesday mornings. We do ride to schools as kind of like prizes for read-a-thons and things of that nature. And then how we operate is if one of our guys is out of a building, then usually I will rotate into that building for that bit of time. So we try not to leave. Like our busiest and most focused times of the day are lunches, obviously, at the high school and at Bunsell. So start with Joe Petzinger. Joe is at the high school. Come on up. So Joe and I actually tomorrow will finish our 20th year at the police department. We got hired the same day.
Nice.
See it? Yes. So, Joe's, how many years have you been in high school?
It's my fifth year.
Fifth year at the high school. So, he enjoys it. One of the things we found with bringing officers off the road was it's a nice change for them. I mean, you can kind of speak to...
I was in the patrol division for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And after 16 years, like anything, you do something for 16 years, you kind of get bored. Mm-hmm. You're going to work, you kind of dread it a little bit. And it's funny, today, I've been in the school, and I was like, well, I don't know, you know, if I'm ready, whatever. And then the second the kids came in, I'm like, yep. I was like, it felt good. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying it. I think my mood lifted. Mr. Brambash, you can probably attest to that, too. It was just completely different.
Till the year.
Well, that's fine, too. But right. Yeah, it's just nice to be back.
Good kid.
Thank you.
Second, I'll introduce Josh Dillahunt. He is at Bunsell. Josh is also, runs all of the ALICE trainings at all the school buildings. He's created a PowerPoint. He's the one who stays very up to date on all the training and the techniques for all the active shooter. And then also the building assessments that we do every year. We walk around the building and just checking for things that may need to be improved, camera coverage, things of that nature. So, and you've been at Bunsell you were a DARE officer for how long?
Yeah, taught DARE for 11 years.
And then this this is your first full time technically?
Second
full time at Bunzel. Yes. So next, I'll introduce Steve Hardy. He is at Creekview. Steve will also be finishing in October, I think, or December.
December.
Yeah. He finishes his 20th year at the police department. Steve is a member of the our special response team, or SWAT team for that matter. So he has a lot of training in that field. He's also now a DARE instructor, so he started teaching DARE last year at Creekview. So we're happy to have him. Anything good you want to say about your Creekview day?
No, I'm also the eye candy for the...
Yes.
The funny thing is, I'm in the same boat with Joe, is that I did the same thing for 19 years. Loved every bit of it. Loved serving the community. But walked in that school one day, and you go from being an a-hole to a hero. And it's just absolutely... Yes. They give you high fives and...
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it's nice. It's nice.
So it's a nice change, and I was the same way today. I was like, I remember my first call out of the gate coming, because we worked during the summer. I'm like, this is why I got off this. Because I have to deal with people's, you deal with people's problems every day, and it gets to you.
Yeah.
But over there, at least you see the good side, and you see that you're making an impact, and the kids, I mean, I probably got... I don't know. I'm a hugger. I probably got like 80 hugs today.
You know, I'm too, right?
I didn't get that many. High school kids, kind of, it's like the Red Sea. Just
weird thing. Starting, I can see it.
Right.
The weird thing, 50 of them was teachers, but.
So, and then last but not least, the person who pretty much runs our entire area.
Yes.
This is Amy Finley. She's our newest SRO. She's at the Early College High School. Amy has been on the road at our office for 18 years. She is just finished SRO school. She will also be going to DARE school to back up Steve if Steve needs some time off. But she'll be going to school here in the next couple of months. And then last week we did a tour of the STEM school, and she had never been, or through the early college, and she had never been through the whole building. And I mean, you can kind of talk how different.
Oh yeah, it's a total different concept than high school. Like, I remember it. You sit down, the bell rings, and you don't get up until the bell rings. It's a different learning environment, but I think it's neat. I almost wish I would have had that kind of learning environment. Maybe I would have done better. I can't.
Amy also does all of our women's self-defense classes, and then she also is a trained RAD kids instructor. That's a program that we run in the summertime. Do you want to explain what that is for people who don't know?
Boil it down, it's a self-empowerment class for children. It teaches them to be able to tell an adult stranger no, so they can get to safety. We hamper on that. We also teach them some self-defense techniques, so if they are grabbed up real quick, they can fight, know that they can fight and that they have that ability to try to get away.
So the age groups for that, I think, was what we do, a 5 to 7 year old?
We do a 5 to 7 and an 8 to 12 year old.
So, and we get more than we can the sign up for, so it's a program that we can see that's going to grow. We've actually even talked about bringing the, she's actually done a couple of women's self-defense classes for graduating female seniors. Nice. Who are getting ready to go off to college. Nice. We're looking at maybe trying to expand that program a little bit over at the Early College High School to try to reach to more kids, you know, because mm-hmm. our kids grow up in what I would consider a fairly safe town. And, you know, a lot of our kids don't stay here necessarily to go to college. They go to a lot bigger places where there's a lot different type of problems that they haven't been exposed to. So whatever whatever tools we can give them before they leave, you know, makes us feel a lot better and makes the parents feel a lot better as well. So.
Great.
You guys have any questions?
Thank you. Just thank you very much for all that you do for those kids, because the day that we live in, it's tough. And with you guys out there, it sure makes everybody feel a lot better.
And a lot of what goes on in our school district is driven by relationships. Mm-hmm. Relationships between the teachers and the students, relationships between the kids, and you provide a tremendous resource, a different type of relationship that our kids really need. And in my role, going to Columbus and talking with legislators, I was really pleased that the legislature created legally the role of SRO, because it didn't exist until this past year, I think, and recognized in many ways the growing and important role that each of you have. But the things that you've said, I think, illustrate that every single one of you puts kids first. And you see the young men and women in our building as needing some help, needing some guidance, having questions and so forth. And I know that you're there to try to help them find the answers and continue your good work.
Thank you.
And I had the pleasure of participating in the active shooter training last week, and you did a great job with the presentation. And I mean, I came out of that feeling so grateful that you provide that service, because just like anything in life, you have to practice. The more you practice, the more comfortable you'll be if unfortunately you ever were in that situation. But I appreciate that, and I also just really like the idea that you're helping our kids see that law enforcement is a good thing, you know, that you can be friends with law enforcement, and that's so important for them to, you know, learn that you are real people, that you care about them, and so really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We good?
Yeah. There you go. Thanks. Well, we'll see you in the building. You're just
I knew that made you laugh. Oh, no, you were. I knew it would make you laugh. I'm taking it.
All right, now we are ready for our presentation on personalized learning. So tonight it looks like we have Ms. Ashley and Mr. Gallagher and Chris. Ashley and Chris can do it. And Mark. All right.
Okay. Well,
good evening, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, I was going to check on Mark. Okay, started. Is that okay? Okay. So I'm Ashley Thompson, Personal Learning Director for Marysville, and I just wanted to take a minute to update you on kind of where we've been and, most importantly, what the focus points are for this year. Mm-hmm. And then Mark's going to cover that.
I don't know.
Yeah. So this slide should look familiar to you. As we started in our personalized learning journey, we took an approach toward learner-centeredness first, to just really take a minute to, you know, get our relationships right with kids. And then we refer to CBE here as our kind of standards-based mastery approach to learning. And then this third row here is just really fusing the two together. So we're in 1920, we're in our fourth year of work, and I'm happy to say we're right on time. It's been a lot of hard work and effort on our teachers, and it's been a labor of love, but I think it's coming together nicely, and so I want to give you some updates. If we were to tell our story about personalized learning, these are kind of the tangible, visible changes that I've experienced through, like, observing all 10 buildings over the past 4 years. I think we went through sort of a mindset shift, And then we really took a deep look at relationships with kids. You saw our SROs up here. You can walk into any classroom and you can see, like, Marysville teachers love kids. And I think that's extremely important. But we really worked at creating cultures within each school that had visible signs of empathy, inclusion, systematic supports, and just really valued the voice of kids. Next, you can see as you walk through the schools the change in flexible environments, their response to the kids' needs, and really, hopefully, you can see kids at the center of those environments. Academically, we started working on what we're now calling Marysville Guarantee, where we prioritize the learning standards and really mapped them in a continuum of learning, and that was through the collective work of all the teachers that you have been hearing about over the past few years. We have completed the first draft of that in K-8 all areas. We're working on some of the work this fall. We'll be finishing up that learning continuum in Unified Arts. So we'll get them back together. And then we're also in phase two of that work in core areas in 9-12 and UA in 9-12 as well. So we'll be putting teacher teams back together to really sort of refine that work. And even the work that's done is a continuous refinement of where we are and what we're prioritizing in our collective agreement about what mastering means for each of those critical targets. And so the innovative instruction and assessment, which is a lot of Chris's work in our collective leadership, is how do we ensure that kids make it there? How do we create instructional environments and really flexible assessment of learning that meets kids where they are and allows them to grow at a pace that is reasonable for them? So I put some kind of like a bullet point, if you will, under mindsets. And what you're going to see here is these were kind of the five parts of our story so far that we'll just continue building. And then you'll see the bold points. Those are our five critical personalized learning goals. So we really wanted to take a look at how do we systematically support all kids, not only those who are struggling, but also those who are ready to advance and extend their learning. Who are our learners? So we took a look at learner-centered approaches. We do things such as PLPs and enable voice and choice and help give them, allow them to partner with the teacher to create, like, what is our classroom culture going to look like? How do I use my voice in civilly responsible ways and things like that? Habits of mind are those, Mark's going to talk more about this, but they're kind of that soft skill, like, what does it mean to be a successful learner, and then what does it mean to be a successful person and adult? And sometimes those are the non-academic views of learning, such as responsibility, being an advocate for yourself, and those kinds of things. The learning guarantee is really our standards-based approach to instruction, assessment, and reporting, and I'll talk about something that's exciting happening this year. And then we're really taking a mastery learning approach when we talk about instruction and assessment. So those words you've probably heard from me several times, and I just wanted to kind of thread that through what our story is becoming. Two new things this year. Mark's going to talk about the social-emotional side of learning because we want our kids to be recognized as human beings first and be heard and valued and supported. And then we also want to make sure that we're taking a strong approach toward academics and achievement so they're prepared to go to the next step in whatever grade level they are in or beyond. So one thing I'm going to talk about here is Unified Classroom, which is a tool that we are just kicking off today. It really is an upgrade that five schools are taking in as far as our learning management system is concerned. So IT, Chris and I have been working hard all summer to make sure that our learning continuum actually comes to life in this program that allows teachers to map their standards to assignments they do, activities they do, assessments they do. It has an assessment platform in it if teachers choose to digitally assess kids. And then the best thing of all is the management of mastery is a labor for teachers. So it allows a grade book that kind of maps progress on standards per kid and allows them to easily say, you know, who's not yet at mastery versus who's at mastery and might need some enrichment. So the five schools that are taking part in that are about to experience an easier way to manage some of that data, and I hope they find it valuable. With every new product, there are productive struggles, and I really have appreciated so far how everybody's kind of leaned into that, been really open to communication and help and that kind of thing. So that's exciting. So through that work and alongside that work, we're going to continue working on instruction that's flexible for students. assessments that are flexible and reliable. We don't want kids to sit down and always just take a paper pencil test or get on a computer and take a test. We want them to be able to show their learning in ways that are, I keep using the word flexible, but not multimodal. Can you show us, can you demonstrate in ways that are different and unique to you? And then the reporting mechanisms with the new standards-based grade card in K-6, and then a standards-based approach at Bunsell that then will accumulate to a traditional grade or all new features that are happening this year. So I'll be excited to keep you updated on those things. Mm-hmm. And Mark is going to talk about, I already talked about this, so I just put a summary of kind of those guarantees and commitments. I won't read it to you because I kind of hit on those when I told the story. So Mark's going to talk about what I think is some of the most exciting work, which is the social emotional learning.
Thank you. So we're going to have a significant lift on our hands for the upcoming school year, right, when it comes to social emotional development of our kids. And there's really, when we talk about the impetus for doing this work, one, it's just our next natural stop on our personalized learning journey, right? We spend a lot of time working on academics. Now it's really time for us to start focusing on the whole child, okay? And there's actually a number of groups that are being formed down at the Ohio Department of Education regarding the whole child. I was actually fortunate enough to be invited to sit on the whole child advisory group for the Ohio Department of Education. So I'll be representing the Ohio School Psych Association there. But we also have social emotional learning standards now, right, in the state of Ohio. Has anyone had a chance to see any of the social emotional learning standards at all? We'll give you a little snippet here tonight. So K-12 now actually has learning targets and standards for social emotional development for children. I was also lucky enough to sit on this group as well to develop the elementary standards. So I was with the elementary folks, so I did all the K-5 work with this group. Kind of how they're organized is you have a broad scale competency. So for this one, the broad scale competency, self-management, think of it as like written expression for language arts, right? So it's that sub-target. But then I also have a standard underneath of that. So for this specific bucket of standards, persevering through challenges and setbacks in school and life. And underneath of that, I have developmental targets underneath of those. So we're going to undergo the same type of work that we've done with the rest of our academic standards. We're going to do a critical standards or a critical learning targets build with social emotional learning standards in various schools. And that work is set to kick off in the middle of October on the 10th and 11th. And we'll use a multidisciplinary group of professionals from the district. So administrators, teachers, psychologists, guidance counselors, therapists will come together to outline what we believe to be the critical targets and components of social emotional learning based on all the standards that are available to us. And so it's kind of how the standards are orchestrated. So why does that matter? Well, we built them off of what's called the CASEL framework. And CASEL stands for the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. And CASEL says you got to have five big buckets of skills established in order to have social emotional wellness. Things like self-management, social awareness skills, relationship skills, right? Self-awareness, I need to be able to identify my own thoughts and feelings, right? So because if I can't identify my own thoughts and feelings, I'm going to struggle to identify the thoughts, feelings, and emotions of others, right? And the idea is that if I have all four of those buckets of skills established, I can make good, responsible decisions, right? Now this is important because in Marysville Schools, for this school year, we're actually deploying a social emotional learning diagnostic tool. Okay, so instead of like using traditional, we would use rating scales, right? What we think to be true about students, right? What students think to be true about themselves, they actually have to perform a direct assessment of social emotional skills. Specifically, things that take them through emotion recognition tasks, social perspective taking tasks, self-control. There's a self-control module to the diagnostic. Okay? There's also a social problem-solving component to it as well. So now we have an assessment vehicle here at the schools that allows us to directly assess these core critical skills as part of this CASEL framework, which we align on your bag to the standards for the state of Ohio. So now we have a way to actually assess our social emotional learning standards at K-6. Fortunately, no such tool exists for 7-12 yet. Right? Yes. But it's coming. You can kind of see how we got there and what we're going to bring to life a little bit. Okay? We're also going to have a lot of different programming that we're going to be bringing into Marysville Schools. Now, some of these things are going to be familiar. So on the prevention front, we're a PACS school district. And we're going to be bringing another two elementary schools online with a PACS behavior game this fall. One is Mill Valley, the other is Naven. So on the 18th for that professional development day, we're all getting together over at ECHS, and we're going to go do PACS Behavior Day and PACS Tools Training. So our paraprofessionals will be going to the PACS Tools Training. Now, something new for this current school year, we're going to be taking every single person in this district through trauma-informed care training. Okay, so all of our staff, K through 12, will get the opportunity to go through trauma-informed care training with Sarah Buffy from Silver Consulting. She came out for Summer Institute at the end of last school year. There was such an overwhelmingly positive response from our staff. We said, okay, we got to figure out how to bring this lady back and get her in front of all of our staff. So we'll be going through trauma-informed care training, which is all about if students do have a history of trauma, what can I do from a best practices standpoint to make sure that my classroom is a nurturing environment, right, conducive to their needs. So again, going back to the whole child. We're also going to be introducing a program called the DBT STEPSA. DBT stands for Dialectical Behavioral Therapy. It's about teaching very tangible skills to individuals, things like mindfulness, distress tolerance, crisis response, building healthy relationships. And we're going to be rolling that curriculum out in grades 5 through 10. Okay, so the idea is that by the time a student exits 10th grade, they will have completed the entire curriculum. We're going to be doing that in partnership with PASS, Prevention and Awareness Support Services. They are a new prevention mental health provider in Union County. Have you heard of PASS? PASS? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Prevention and Awareness Support Services. And then we're also, this is probably one of the largest initiatives we're going to be getting off the ground on the prevention front for the current school year, is the Signs of Suicide curriculum. So traditionally, we've done this at 7th grade, and then we've also done this at 9th grade. We saw a need for really expanding that bandwidth and the delivery of that program. And the Signs of Suicide program is a prevention program for suicide awareness. Okay? So kind of identifying signs and symptoms of individuals that exhibit suicidal ideation or at risk for suicide. And we'll be doing that at grades 6, 7, 9, and 12. And each grade level will have a little bit different of a curriculum, so it'll be developmentally scaled for each of those populations, with 12th grade being the most unique. It's called the Second Act Program, and specifically for individuals that are transitioning out of school. So it's not necessarily about finding and accessing resources within a school, but how do I access resources within my community? Right. So it's all about that transition out of school. And there'll be a screening component to that. I'll talk about in a minute. So in terms of universal screening, we're going to be giving the CELLA early and late elementary diagnostic. That's the performance-based measure for social emotional learning. And we'll be rolling that out K through 6. We're also going to be introducing what's called the Social Academic and Emotional Behavior Risk Scale, the SABRES, at grades 7 through 12. So we're going to systemically screen all of our 7th through 10th graders, okay, and on an as-needed basis, we're going to go to 11th and 12th graders with that measure, okay? And it's specifically looking for school-based risk behaviors, okay? So it's completely school-based. We're also going to be doing suicide risk screening in those targeted grade levels at the wrap of the Signs of Suicide curriculum. And we formed a partnership with Nationwide Children's, PASS, Prevention and Awareness Support Services, Ohio Guidestone, Mary Haven, the Mental Health Recovery Board, as well as training our own internal people on the 26th of this month to go through the curriculum delivery, the screening and triage process, and the how do I safety plan the students that need safety plans. So we're going to have all hands on deck when we deliver this curriculum to our school district, and that will start in the first week of September at MHS this school year. And we also have introduced a parent pilot at grades, well, not really, well, it's grades 7 through 12, but specific buildings as part of the pilot are Bunsell, Tri-Academy, and ECHS. If you have children in any of these buildings, you'll probably notice at the bottom of your back-to-school form, there's a little screening component that says strengths and difficulties questionnaire. This is a parent-completed risk measure. It also measures protective factors as well, like if students are willing to help around the house, do they have a stable group of friends, things like that. And so we'll be merging this information together to try to identify risk in our student population. So now we have moms and dads getting voice in that diagnostic process and kind of giving us some, you know, some information on what things are like at home as well. Okay, so it's not just about school anymore, it's about bringing the entire community together. And in terms of intervention, we have a pretty good menu of supports available to our students. So we're a zones of regulation school district. We use this as like a targeted intervention with our students. We'll do that K through 8. We also use the second step curriculum. This is our first year using the second step curriculum. It's also another targeted intervention support for us, and we'll be rolling that out K through 8. And as always, in our partnership with the Mental Health Recovery Board at Mary Haven, we have school navigators, which are mental health professionals, that can assist with brief intervention and treatment if we needed it at K through 12. That's kind of our roadmap, so to speak, for the current school year, where we're going and kind of where we're headed. Okay? In terms of community partnerships, we'll continue to have access to school navigation services with Mary Haven. Again, it's two mental health professionals attached to our school district that they're able to do screenings, brief intervention, referral to treatment, as well as providing, you know, small group and individualized supports. They also help with case management, okay, so they can check in with kids and families at school, at home, see how things are going. In partnership with the Mental Health and Recovery Board, we're going to, you know, continue to roll out prevention programs. So our Mental Health and Recovery Board does all of our PACS tools training here in the county, so they're going to be coming in to do that PACS tools training. They also partner with us when we do PACS trainings in general. We usually cost share on how we do that. So we'll buy our kits, they'll buy the training, right, teach you how to do that. They help with professional development. With Council for Union County Families, I work extensively with Jason King as part of the community response team. So when families have kind of, you know, immediate needs, then we can address those in a preventative manner. Jason's able to, you know, pull a group of professionals together from service providers in the community. The schools are involved in that process to see what we can do from a school standpoint. All right, so we work extensively with the Council for Union County Families, and then with PASS, Prevention Awareness Support Services, they'll be able to provide all prevention-based supports that we need within the district. So they're going to help out with signs of suicide. They're going to help deliver the DBT steps, A, as well. So we've got a number of mental health partnerships that we brought to life here within the school district for the upcoming school year. And some of these are kind of continuations of what we've done before. That's all I've got. So that's kind of where we're at and where we're going.
Wow. You guys haven't been busy at all. Wow.
It was a very quiet spring.
So I'm trying to picture all this. It's a lot. It really is a lot, but I'm happy about all of it. But the like when they're learning the emotional skills, let's say the persistence one you were talking about earlier,
yeah,
is that like happening in the classroom with the teachers, like during the school day? Is that where it happens, or
like all areas of school? So with the beauty of it, it depends really what grade level you're in. So like we'll use K through 4, because kindergarten through 4th grade is an example. If you're in a PACS building, you are constantly working on those skills as part of that framework. Right? So I always kind of seriously but jokingly say, in order for kids to develop self-regulation, they have to win the PACS game. If students want to develop self-regulation, they have to lose the PACS game. Right? So it's in those micro opportunities or that micro duress, so to speak, is where kids are going to learn persistence. Right? You're not always going to win, but you have to keep trying. Right, and that's a key component of the PASS community. So that's just like one little micro example of that. But yeah, it's constantly those things throughout the school day.
The PASS program, are they a part of Mary Haven? Are they a part of a group?
They are their own separate agency. So Mary Haven no longer offers prevention services for Union County. That was rolled off, and they brought in a prevention-only provider. PASS has been involved in the Lima area for like the last 15 years, just delivering prevention services only. That's all they do. And they offer like the DBT steps, they help with mental health first aid training as well as one of their flagship programs. They also offer a program called Gatekeepers that we're going to pilot out at ECHS for the upcoming school year, which is all about developing kind of in-house student-driven mental health awareness within the walls of the school. Okay, so they run point on anything preventative within the county now. Yeah, and they have an office of 2, they're looking to expand to 3 very, very quickly, and potentially grow outside of that.
I love what we're doing. We have so many social emotional needs within the community. But I just wanted to question, especially with the older kids, the treatment type things you're talking about are done in conjunction with the parents.
Correct.
Right.
Always. Yeah, always.
Yeah. On one of the programs, you're doing an assessment of parent.
Strengths and difficulties question.
Strengths and difficulties. And there were 3 buildings. Bunch of early college, which is why the high school's not there. It's in there.
Correct. This is just a pilot to see how this works for the current school year. If it goes well, my intention is to scale it out 5 through 12.
Okay.
That's my goal. We just wanted to vet it out to see if the pool is going to basically give us valuable information and see how it works for us.
I'm kind of curious with all of these new programs, You know, and it's great to have a professional development for all of our staff, but are there kind of go-to people in each building, or have people been designated as, you know, train the trainer kind of people, or train the...
Right now.
Okay, yes.
But also, all of our guides, psych staff, also serve as people within our buildings. Yeah, so they become experts on these. So, for example, for the Paxton Behavior Game, we've had all of our guidance and school psychology staff trained in how to actually coach and partner the program, so they're able to join teachers in the classrooms in order to support the initiative. The same thing just occurred with the Second Step program, so I brought all of them in. And the Zones of Regulation program, we were able to go through a day training. We were able to get them up and running with the Second Step program as well as the Zones of Regulation. So they're kind of the resident experts.
I'm interested in all of it. The suicide one jumped out at me because we had a loss this last year, and it's very, you know, traumatic. Do you know if there's any numbers on those programs yet to show, like, the impact? I mean, or have they not been around long enough to...
I don't know of any specific numbers. What I can say is as part of this program, it's ran by Nationwide Children's Hospital. They have a suicide program headed by John Ackerman. And they have screened over 30,000 students over the course of the last couple of years. We'll become part of those numbers when we participate in the program. But of that, they've had less than 1% of their students actually picking up the curriculum referred to a bed, so to speak, for long-term residential treatment. So I can't say that. And their whole initiative is zero suicides in their 13-county net.
Okay.
I did do a little drill down on that, and I know that it mentioned how they were recognized as, I can't remember all the terminology, and my computer died on me tonight, so I can't look at it. But it made me feel good, like, yes, this is a program
It's an evidence-based program.
Yeah. Yes.
Children's has put a substantial amount of research and funding behind it in order to get it rolled out.
I had an opportunity to go to a workshop on the trauma-informed care, and that just absolutely blew me away. I mean, it's trauma, it's recognizing the trauma the kids have in their lives, and then being able to appropriately deal with that in the classroom and help them academically, you know, and socially and emotionally be able to overcome things. And it just was amazing, absolutely amazing. And I'm so pleased to see that that we're doing something in that area that that really makes, I know I've shared that with Diane, and I'm really, really glad to see that up there on the board, and the fact that it goes from K all the way to 12. Because we have kids that come into the district that have experienced trauma, and we have kids in the district that will experience trauma as they go through. And so making sure that we recognize that is going to be critical to working with those kids. So, fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Great work. All right, next up we have public participation, and we do have a few people on here. So let's see, our policy, if you have never been to one of our meetings, we do allow 3 minutes per person to address the board, and it's since this is our business meeting, it's really not a forum where we're going to be discussing back and forth. It's more just to hear your comments, and then you know, if you have questions or things that need some work afterwards, we'll make sure that you get followed up with. So if you would just stand and maybe come around here, and you just need to give us your name and your address and get started. So the first one we have on here is Rachel Morgan.
Is it okay if Rachel and I come together?
Oh, sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. Rachel and Pam Plouse. Rachel Morgan and Pam Plouse will be coming up.
So I'm going to start.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pam.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pam Klaus. And sorry, I'm just going to read this because it's a lot easier. I currently serve as the president of the Marysville Coral Boosters. This is my 13th and final year of being a show choir mom. And from day one, I've heard parents and students question, why show choir is not an activity that exempts students from gym, similar to marching band, similar to sports in Marysville. We have been correctly told that it wasn't a decision our school board could make. It had to be done at the state level. 2019 rolls around, and enter Tracy Richardson, our state representative. And because of Tracy, you now have the ability to make show choir a PE exemption. It was an amendment sponsored by Tracy that was attached to the state budget, and it was recently passed. Show choir is not in every high school, and show choir is not the same everywhere. So we understand why it was at the state level. But now, hopefully, you have all seen the Marysville Swingers Unlimited in action. I would challenge anyone here tonight, if anybody wants to take me up on this, to sing and dance for 20 minutes straight and not tell me that's physically challenging. In preparation for the competition season, these kids start training in August. They just had their camp last week. Their season will not end until April. They rehearse a minimum of 6 hours a week, oftentimes more, especially during competition season. They are athletes, and they are highly competitive. They are successful because they work and they train hard. I encourage you to support them, and finally, make show choir a gym exemption. Mr. Alfera, I talked to Jeremy this afternoon. He invites you to come to a rehearsal anytime you'd like. And see, and as Crystal said, bring your gym shoes, because we'll make you work too, and see what they do for 6 hours a week. And Rachel's going to give you some more specifics.
So my name is Rachel Morgan. I will be a senior at Marysville Early College STEM High School, and I am a proud member of the Marysville Swingers Unlimited Show Choir and the Marysville Marching Band. Since marching band is already PE exemption, I believe that Marysville Swingers Unlimited Show Choir should also be a PE exemption. The marching band is an endurance activity. It requires an above average lung capacity, muscle control, and precision. At the end of our 8-minute show, it's unlikely that you'll find anyone not out of breath. But by comparison, show choir is a physical workout involving the entire body from head to toe, literally. Singing and dancing requires much more breath support than in marching band. The show is approximately 15 minutes, making it more physically demanding. To prepare for this, we rehearse for at least 6 hours a week as a group for 8 months of the year, which is a longer season than most sports, making a longer-term physical investment. Each show choir practice includes conditioning, such as running, cardio, and strengthening to build up our stamina. Show choir requires strength, great breath support, and endurance for a long season. That whips us into shape. I hope you choose to vote show choir, like marching band, as a PE exemption.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate you sharing that with us, and we're excited to see your show this year. is the theme out of the bag yet? Maybe not? Okay, we'll wait. Okay, not saying anything. Okay, thank you. Next on the list, we have Mr. Uthinger, Tony.
Actually, we'll try not to take up much time, but I wanted to come here on two matters. First of all, there's been a lot of talk recently about policies concerning the stadium and whether or not we should allow alcohol to be served at events, community events in the stadium. As I understand it, the policy under consideration would allow for alcohol to be served at community non-school sponsored events during the summer recess when school is not in session. And I know that there are voices in the community that are steadfastly opposed to that, and I would just offer this for the board's consideration. I believe that if the stadium is in fact 100% a school stadium and it is purely for school activities, then I would support a total ban on alcohol being served at those events. However, if we believe that this stadium is a community stadium open for community use and community events, then I believe that it may be appropriate in limited circumstances, provided that it's tightly regulated and monitored and handled responsibly. I think that the Marysville Friday Nights Uptown have demonstrated that that you can have a joyful environment where in times of celebration without subjecting people to risk. And I know there are a lot of children at those events, my child included. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I just want to thank the school board, the superintendent, and board members. Regarding a little incident that was received widespread media attention and social media attention involving one of our classrooms here at Edgewood, I just wanted to come and express my support for the teacher and for his curriculum and his efforts, and also for the fact that I was very pleasantly surprised to hear so many voices of support for inclusion in our community, and I think that's hugely important. And I supported the teacher who is here today with my voice and also with my dollars, because as soon as I saw those posts go online, my wife and I got out our credit card and we bought every single book on his list. And that's consistent with the approach we took during the school year when my wife and I committed our law firm to make sure that every child at Mill Valley Elementary School received a book from us at the book fair, regardless of their ability to pay. Mm-hmm. And so we'd like to continue that. We plan to continue that at Mill Valley, and maybe if I can talk a few of my colleagues in the bar and in the business community to do the same, maybe we can make that outreach happen in all of our schools. So thank you for what you guys are doing, and that's all I have tonight.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, last person on the list here is Ms. Tammy Miller.
Well, pretty much everything was already covered, so I'll just make this quick. So as far as the show choir thing, you know, my son's in show choir. He doesn't need a visit exempt because he goes track, but I can guarantee you he gets a lot more spelt with show choir than he's ever done in the distance from shopping. Mm-hmm. That being said, too, I just want to thank also for your support of Mr. Steyer. Coming from my background, when I was a lot younger, I wish I would have had someone to turn to, and I didn't. So I just want to say thank you, Austin, for what you've done.
Thank you. Really appreciate you guys coming to talk to us. Thank you so much. Next on our agenda, looks like you're up to the High Point Report. Savage. Yeah.
Look, I took my finger off, but all right, here we go. July 11th meeting, High Point meeting, we unanimously approved the buying of the bonds to support the renovation, actually complete renovation of High Point Academy. Mm-hmm. Except for the new Sloan Center, which was brand newly installed last year. Mm-hmm. So all the 11 school districts that take part in High Point Academy will have a very state-of-the-art facility within the next 4 years. It's going to be a continuing building project for 4 years, but at that time, High Point will be completely renovated, very state-of-the-art with additional programming. Many of the programming that High Point does, we are supported through on-site satellite programs at Early College High School and also our traditional high school, as well as Bunsell. But a lot of the other school districts don't have the facilities that we have here in Marysville. So it's great for the broader community. Mm-hmm. In the future. So very excited. Good. To see it. It's going to be a wonderful facility for Central Ohio.
Yeah, that is exciting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Superintendent's report.
So I'd be remiss if I just didn't start with you will see policy around show choir. The way policy works in the district is we get a release from OSBA. They've announced that that release will not come out on the latest budget bill information until September 1st. So once we get that, we'll be forwarding that with other items that are within that bill. So that might answer some questions in general for all of you and kind of keep you up to date. So we had already placed a call, expected that policy a lot sooner. I think it was probably about 2 weeks ago, we received a release that OSBA said there was too much in the budget bill and they would be waiting until September 1st for that release. So stay tuned as that comes forward. Auto Tech Lab at Early College High School is, we now have occupancy, but not all equipment has been installed. All the equipment from that's donated from Honda Marysville is on order, and we're waiting for that to arrive. So when it's here and installed, we would anticipate having a larger open house. Remember, that serves both high schools, and we really think that's a great opportunity and kind of a way to collaborate between both buildings. So we're excited for that to take place. But we can start classes in there. And don't need that equipment for the early work.
Okay.
Is that your question?
Yeah, yep. Okay. Yep.
So, happy first day of school. I should have started with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's been kind of a whirlwind the past couple days. So, so success this morning, Alt-K came for the very first time and we had zero tears. So, if we're marking, you know, some metrics to measure by, we are super excited for that. Lots of great pictures, too, from parents if you haven't seen them out there. So, super excited for that edition. So far, so good. We had, obviously, staggered start started today in a variety of fashion across the district. Freshman day at the high school buildings. Tomorrow, high school will be full go, and I made it into both freshman days in part. It just reminds me that I'm getting older because they all look so little still. So they grow a lot. You kind of forget freshman year is such a change year. So excited for that. Enrollments, I'll give you a quick update. If you follow some on social media, there was some disgruntled parents for intra-district transfers as well as open enrollment. So we'll kind of give you or talk to you about that a little bit. This year for intra-district, so that is, for example, I may live in Edgewood, but I'd like my child to go to Mill Valley because my babysitter's there, for example. We were able to approve 99 of those, and then we had to deny 36 of those for various reasons. Now, most for capacity issues. So when it comes to a teacher, remember we have caps at the elementary. For kindergarten is different from 1 through 4. Once those are reached or we start to get that number from your home school, we're not going to take kids from the other school in their space at that original school, if that makes sense. Open enrollment, we approved 36 open enrollment students and denied 28. So reminder, open enrollment students are students who do not live within the Marysville boundaries that would like to attend school here. But obviously we service those people in our community first, and when we have space, we take the kids from outside of the community as well. So overflow, so that would be, we're at capacity in a building, and we have to send you to one of the other buildings for school. So we are overflowing kindergarten and fourth grade out of Raymond, 5 kids in each. So 5 kindergarten kids, 5 fourth grade kids are overflowed. At Mill Valley, we're overflowing kindergarten. We have 2 students that are overflowing. All the overflow spots are going to Northwood. Okay, so all that being said, there's still space. The district, there's 32 seats left in kindergarten across the district, and there's 44 seats in fourth grade. So that kind of gives you a rough landscape of where we are today. So there's still space.
Okay, so it's more of a constraint due to the number of staff members that we have. I mean, like there are classrooms.
But yeah, there are classrooms.
Right, right.
Okay. So there would be, let's say, 100 kids moved. We'd hire additional staff. There's space for those. So we're not at a point of saying that we need to build another building.
Right.
I mean, I think interestingly enough, and if you looked over my goals, one of the things that I'm charged with this year or really going to monitor is as our community looks to build different developments and different types of housing, really mm-hmm. that impact on the schools. So I think it's important to stay active in that conversation mm-hmm. As we do continue to grow and expand, but we definitely have space. If you remember, we can pull the study we did this school year. Mm-hmm. The two buildings we'd be most concerned about really would be Creekview and Bunzold.
Right.
There's not the capacity to grow there in terms of space and classrooms. So,
right.
I mean, they're comfortable now, but as mm-hmm. we want to continue to watch that. I do not have an exact enrollment number. I would tell you everything's so fluid right now. If I gave you a number, it wouldn't be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So kids are coming in, but other places haven't started school yet, so they're still doing records requests, so not all our withdrawals are caught up. But as these first couple days, we'll be monitoring, unfortunately, we call them butts and seat reports, which
yeah.
isn't very, but who actually shows up and sits down, right?
Right.
And then who we haven't seen and following up with those and trying to figure out where kids are.
Is that what it says at the top of the report?
Actually, it probably does. It's such a common concept, right?
It's just going to be an acronym,
right?
It's education.
So we want to make sure that we can account for that. There's oftentimes a lot of transition where parents aren't enrolling kids, and we have obviously very serious responsibility in finding mm-hmm. out where kids are and trying to locate them and trying to get them to the right spot if they're not in school somewhere. So
okay.
all that falls to us. So class size, so I work with and talk with Tom every day at the high school currently. There are three classes over 30. They're all setting at 31. So we're continuing to monitor that, but things look in pretty good shape at the high school. Stadium project update. I'd like to clear up some rumors. first of all, the goal posts are not put in backwards. They are swivel, rotating, whatever you want to put there. Intentionally are backwards so that as the turf equipment comes in to lay the turf field, they're out of the way, right? So if everyone could spread that message, it would be wonderful. But they are they're put in correctly. They're just turned the wrong way intentionally. So
I'm kind of sorry to hear that because I was looking forward to the first football game.
Well, it's become, you know, the district doesn't know what they're doing. They're putting in goals and back. No, it's not the case. They're correct. The turf should be now not installed this weekend, but it's coming to us this weekend. So that you'll start to see the turf action over the next couple weeks. If you haven't been out there, I feel like it's at a point where it's starting to change every day.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of work on the home bleachers. The press box went in while we were there yesterday, cranking it up.
Nice.
You can start to see color up on the home bleachers. I wanted to get back there this evening before I came here, but didn't make it. But I know they were putting kind of the blue fascia on some of that, so it's starting to look a little different. At the middle school, we are kind of on the final stages of some things. So as you remember, the asphalt has been down. That requires a cure time of 21 days. So we're in that 21 days of the cure time. That should expire towards the end of the month, like 26th, 27th. Then the coat for the track will go on top, which is about a two-week process. And then it will be a track lining that comes after that painting kind of thing. They're doing the final steps on the building project or on the building itself and painting those types of things. So, you know, I would guess we were at a meeting yesterday. We're still looking at September 12th-ish time frame. I say all of that dependent on weather, monsoon, you know, hopefully we don't have another mm-hmm. June strike. So all of that is in the mix currently. I know there's a lot about the stadium. So any other rumors? I know I've cleared up several this week. Some of you have called me about different things, but I would say, you know, while there's the first home game at the end of the month, I would say we're probably losing a little bit of hopefulness for that game. Mm-hmm. There still is the opportunity for the temporary occupancy to happen. Mm-hmm. Really, it's going to be a timing issue with how quickly the turf itself goes in. Everyone is well aware. We had a construction meeting yesterday of the sense of urgency mm-hmm. around making sure we get it done. They are 5 weeks behind, too, so I think it's unrealistic to say we're going to catch up on 5 weeks of work that's behind in a month, but they are chugging away at it. I would just like to also say... are there any questions on that?
I had somebody say, well, with the middle school, why don't they wait to put the, you know, why don't they go ahead and play their football games and wait to do the track service until later? So I know there's a reason for that, too.
We're in the cure time now.
Yeah,
the track surface that goes on doesn't necessarily have a cure time
okay.
as much as it has a temperature requirement.
Right.
And if we wait till much outside, we'll lose warranty on the adherence factor.
Right.
And there's too many risks of saying we'll be at a certain temperature for a certain amount of days once you get into October.
Right.
So that would be... the cure time for the asphalt we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, is it the 26th runs in my mind is the 21st day. I'm pretty close in there. So
yeah.
It's that last week. So mm-hmm. there would be, it's the eighth grade schedule that would be impacted the most. There's mm-hmm. very few eighth grade games. It seems their schedule's front loaded quite mm-hmm. a bit. Seventh grade will have more opportunities, unfortunately, than the eighth grade team this year to play there.
Okay.
But maybe we can try to come up with something special or something to do to help on that last one.
Okay.
I also just wanted to, certainly Tony or Mr. Ufinger mentioned the issue that happened over the summer prepping for the school year. I just wanted to commend Austin and Tom Holdren for acting as great professionals and, really standing right by kids. Someone made a comment tonight about the letter that went out and, at the end of the day, we're public ed mm-hmm. and in our heart of hearts, if we can't, it's similar to the conversation I had with Chad, every kid who comes through the door, we're going to love mm-hmm. and we're going to take them from where they are to the next spot, and it might not be what we want to deal with sometimes. It might be hard on our own hearts sometimes, but that is the core of what we're about in this district, where it's what mm-hmm. we're about with our teachers, and I couldn't be more proud of the way everything evolved. And sometimes things happen for a reason, to heighten mm-hmm. our own awareness about things. And for me, it got back to the core of why I'm even in this business. So I'm super proud of our staff and their reaction and the leadership in this district, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that tonight. That's it for me.
Thank you. I think we all second that. Third, fourth, fifth, but yes, totally agree. Okay, let's see. Treasurer's report.
Yeah. Well, I got an email the other day that kind of reminded me of, as you get doing your day-to-day things and you get busy and you kind of forget to update the board sometimes on some of the things that have been happening. So I just thought I would give you just a quick update on a few different things that I probably haven't updated you on some things that happened over the last 6 months to a year. The email that I got that reminded me was about our PNC purchasing program, and I don't think I've really talked much about it. And it's called PNC purchasing program, but it's a credit card. But what you can do strategically with that is if you can, find vendors that will allow you to, purchase their items with a credit card and not charge you anything extra compared to a check, you get a rebate, just like with your mm-hmm. own, credit card rewards. So with making strategically picking those things where we can, purchase things using the credit card, using that program, we received $10,000 in rebates last year.
Wow.
So that was a nice little
increase compared to where we'd been before. This summer, we were able to complete physical inventory of every building, which doesn't sound all that exciting. But in the 5 or 6 years that I've been here, we've kind of always been piecemealing that, and it's been kind of one of those things that's just hard to really get up to date where you want it to be. So we are, I think, where we should be, where we would like to be now. Just the importance of that is just, you know, having just a good internal control over, you know, the things that our tax dollars are buying. So that was good.
Can I ask you a quick question? Mm-hmm. So is it your goal now to do that every year, a physical inventory?
We won't do the actual physical inventory of every building every year.
Gotcha.
So,
right.
But we will, now that we've got it, we'll kind of rotate.
You've got a nice
and then
baseline.
Yeah.
Okay. That's huge.
Yes.
Trust me.
Yeah. Just a minor thing, but we made some minor changes in the accounts payable process to make things easier on the buildings when they're doing their POs and budgets and things. So that was a minor thing that came up. Our interest, I've talked about our increase in interest revenue we've received. In fiscal year 19, we received $675,000 in interest revenue. So that's great news. Already in fiscal year 20, which, you know, we're what, a month and a half in, we've received $163,000 in interest revenue. So that's been great boost for the district revenue. And finally, the last thing I wanted to note, effective January 1, you may remember we switched our insurance carriers. We're now with Medical Mutual, and anytime you change, people sometimes get a little nervous, you know. I think there was a little bit of, you know, wariness out there, but I think everything had turned out pretty good and everything. But he seems to be pretty happy. Haven't heard a lot of complaints, but it has led to some savings for us. On the administrative fee side, you know, we have to pay administrative fees for them handling all of our claims and that kind of thing. Comparing the first 6 months of last year, what we paid, to what we've paid so far the first 6 months of this year with Medical Mutual, we've saved $124,000. So that's a big savings for our self-insurance fund. And the second thing is we get prescription rebates. So if people are buying prescription, we get rebates from that. All of 2018, we received $72,000 in rebates. So far this year, just through 8 months, we've received $87,000. So that's, in essence, an additional $15,000 in revenue, and only 8 months in.
And is it the same company? The same?
No, it's a different
company.
Okay,
so that is Medical Mutual's handling prescription too? Okay.
Yeah.
So is that really the whole reason, is just because it's Medical Mutual?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're just...
Wow.
And that was one of those... we didn't expect.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't realize.
Nice.
We knew the admin savings were coming. We didn't really know the RX rebates would be there.
Mm-hmm.
Those savings are great. If you have terrible claims, it still doesn't, you know, change things. But if our claims can continue, we're having a better year so far this year than we've had over the last few. And if you add those things on top, that would be, you know, go a long way towards getting our self-insurance fund back in the right direction.
Right.
That's all for me.
Any questions, comments? That's pretty.
Thank you.
You can bring reports like that every month.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know. So a lot of those things are a result of your intentional, you know, the work of your department really looking to find ways to save money, and so that we can use it more towards student achievement. So thank you very much. Okay, my report. Again, our community coffees are going to be starting back up next month. We'll have one on September 14th. So I'm sure Nan will be in touch to find out who wants to cover that. Upcoming events, there's a new one that I had just seen. I think we all probably got a save the date from OSBA Central Region, but they have a legislative open house update at Tri-River Career Center August 28th. And if you're interested in going to that, you just RSVP to Kim Miller Smith by August 23rd. We have an email from her. I know. I think I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'd like to go too.
Yeah.
So, and then our Central Region Fall Dinner is Wednesday, September 25th. So, we do need to, with, you know, Donna's not going to be in the office for a little bit. So she has some other people helping her out, and I know that there's they're a little nervous about handling some of the things that Donna is so comfortable handling. Okay. So if you think you're going to be going to that Central Region dinner, the sooner we can get some names together,
I'll be
you're out of town. Years. Okay. We'll try and get that firmed up. Then I sent my student achievement report. Actually got a phone call from Scott Gerfen of OSBA yesterday because he's writing an article in one of our upcoming magazines about the Student Achievement Liaison Program. Mm-hmm. So we had a nice conversation about what it means to be a Student Achievement Liaison person. And I told him how I was trying to start sharing more stuff with the board, and that we really like to focus on what our district strategic plan is, and as a board, support that strategic plan, and we feel like that's maybe one of the best ways that we can support student achievement. But anyways, I always encourage you to look through this. I sent it to you and Diana Todd because I thought that list of, creating a welcoming school climate, there's a lot of things that we do in there, but it seems like there's always one or two things you're like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe we could think about doing some of those things if we aren't doing them. And then that student achievement brief was all about, a physical way to learn math. And again, I thought that was really appropriate for our district, especially because we're so innovative and creative and, not ones to be sitting there in a desk listening to a teacher lecture to us. Hope you found that enjoyable. And finally, talking about our work session to review our work plan and the goals of Diane and Todd. Amy's out of town until the end of the month, so looking at maybe, September 3rd, there was a question mark with you. So if you can get that changed, then it looks like that might be okay for the others. But if you can't, looking to the next week, so okay. We'll try and get that finalized here pretty soon. And building visits looks like August 26th and August 29th are both good dates for us, so I'll work with you and we'll finalize that if it's okay with the buildings.
Do you want to do the building visits any differently this year?
I communicated that you were going to do them the same as last year because that's what I understood.
Okay.
I can change that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, do you have a...
No, I'm just
you have a different
asking
idea?
If either of you had...
No,
yeah.
I think
it went well, and I think, I always am hesitant, especially it's, kind of early in the school year. I don't want us to go in and be real disruptive, but at the same time, I think it's really nice to get there, and try and see some people and let them know that we...
Some of them, they're so laser-focused, it's hard to disrupt them.
That's right. You go to some classrooms...
And these teachers are like...
So I think the only if we want to keep our same partners or if we want to switch up our decision, right? Okay. And that's all that I have. Legislative report.
I sent mine out a little earlier today and there's not much going on in Columbus. They were on vacation after the budget was passed. But I did have a conversation with him last Friday and went in with three things that I wanted just to have a general discussion with and outline those for you. Gun safety, and just said, look at it broadly.
Who was this conversation with?
Dave Burke,
okay.
Our state senator, and just recognized that one legislative act is probably not going to resolve this, that it needs to be because we look at student safety and we look at it from a lot of different perspectives. We look at it from the facilities, from mental health, from education, all that kind of stuff. And just be willing to look, but we needed to do something on that. School report card, we talked about some of the things that I brought up with him earlier, and then really focused on the last one, which was school bus safety. We have people that drive past stop school buses when the lights are flashing every single day. Mm-hmm. And Dave is in agreement to try and do something on this. And I mentioned that I got a hold of Jay Smith and trying to get OSBA and I know Jay has been working with another senator on a similar topic, so hopefully the state legislature will take up something and make an important step toward trying to make school buses safer and we have greater protection for kids. So, that's it.
Great. Thank you.
I have a couple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Brian, Brian wanted to add a few things.
So I'm kind of
piggybacking.
I got involved a little bit in another part of the legislative process. Mm-hmm. The OSBA is the Ohio School Boards Association. We're a member. Most of the school boards in the state are members. Mm-hmm. And they do lobbying, they do services, and they're actually... I think effective lobbyists and well respected. So once a year they get school board members together to look at the essentially their platform. What are they going to work on this year as they lobby our state house? And so that was a couple weeks ago. I was at that meeting and I just wanted to report a couple things that were discussed. Any individual school board can suggest changing. And the two that came out of individual school boards, one was lobbying that the kindergarten birth date change to August 1st for the whole state. Right now, I believe it's August 1st or September 30th, and you know, individual school districts can work that out for themselves. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting, and there was a lot of discussion of that, and I talked about you know what we're doing here with the Alt-K and how kind of invested our professionals are in making those decisions very carefully with the families. And pretty much the whole room felt like they didn't want the state telling every single school district to, you know, to have the same date, August 1st. So that was voted down unanimously. So that will not be part of the platform. The other one was school board member pay. So another school board had submitted that, and I learned some things about that, like, first of all, the state does not determine school board pay. The state determines the maximum. The local board determines the pay. The state sets the ceiling. And there was a little confusion about that. The ceiling right now is $125 per meeting. What I didn't know was that's been that level since 2002, which is 17 years. Mm-hmm. And so there was a pretty good discussion of that, too. And the motion was to lobby to... for that to be increased and to be connected to inflation. And they didn't, whoever put that resolution forward did not say what it should be, but just that it should go up at some point. And there were people saying, well, this is supposed to be voluntary, and I was pointing out that some of us still work for a living. We're not all retired. And, you know, we would like to be compensated a little bit, plus it helps us justify putting more time into it. So we had a nice discussion, and that one was actually voted favorably by everybody but one person. So now, just because it's in the platform for OSB doesn't mean it's a high priority, and it doesn't mean it's a high priority at the legislature, so we may never hear about it for the next 10 years. But those are the two things that were discussed, and it was a good meeting. It's always good to meet people from around the state. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give you a report on that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Did they have to talk about economic incentives? When I attended the meeting last year, that was a huge topic of discussion.
Incentives for what?
Cities giving economic incentives to businesses to lure them to their communities, and that they actually have a lot of leeway. Cities can mm-hmm. Give away 75% of the tax revenue without even asking the school districts.
That did not come up.
Okay.
But that does sound like a, yeah.
Because it was really heated. It was kind of.
Oh, like, okay.
I was wondering if they're talking about it again. Columbus is currently having a problem with that right now.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, Amy, safety report?
They are not kicking off yet, so I'm going to say it's going to be September now that school's back in and everything. So I emailed Nancy today to see if there was anything that she wanted to put out, and nothing. So we'll just wait for the active meetings to start back in now with the kids and the surveys and all that stuff.
Okay. Next up, I would accept a motion to approve our draft minutes from our July 25th regular board meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments, corrections, questions? Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve Nan Savage as our delegate appointment for the November 2019 Annual Business Association meeting at the Capitol Conference.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers. Second by Mr. Smith.
Can I beat you?
Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Nan. And then I would accept a motion to approve Sue Devine as the alternate delegate in case Nan is not able. Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries.
I would say I appreciate both of you being willing to attend.
That's our pleasure, right?
Yep.
Okay, and finally, for our Board of Education items, I would accept a motion to approve the use of the law firm of, is it Ennis?
Yes.
Ennis Britton as district legal counsel.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Liu. I would just talk, we interviewed five different firms, and Nan and I sat in with Diane and Todd. Do you have any comments about the process, or...
Well, I thought it was a good process, and I don't think there were any bad firms, but mm-hmm. I did feel like Ennis stood above the rest. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I was pretty happy with our choice.
Okay.
And also from, I don't think the financial standpoint was the, that wasn't our highest priority,
yeah, right.
But having said that, they were more reasonably priced than most of the other firms, so that was a good thing as well.
Where is their office?
Columbus. They have office in Columbus, they have office in Cincinnati, and I think also Cleveland, I believe.
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they specialize in school district law mm-hmm. specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Point I really liked, and I have the folder here for mm-hmm. anybody to review. It holds all the biographies for mm-hmm. all of the attorneys associated with it. We were very impressed with the involvement of the key attorneys that we had worked with, being easy to work with, having linked to the educational community so that they're very cutting edge on what's going on in the educational system. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of work with OSBAs. They have a large network of connections. Mm-hmm. In addition, they have a varied attorney, so mm-hmm. if we need someone that's more of a sharp, hard-nosed attorney, they have that. If we have someone that we're working with on day-to-day issues, they have that. If we need special education support, they have that. So I was very impressed with them. Mm-hmm. And all the firms were wonderful. I think this one just kind of fit what we were looking for.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Any questions?
Anybody? I already looked at it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know in my review of all the material and so mm-hmm. forth, they clearly stood out.
When can they start?
Once we approve them tonight. If we, yes. Once we vote.
And one of the concerns I know that I shared with Todd was that, I didn't want us to be the little fish in the big pond, and mm-hmm. I think based on what I understand, what I read, the communication that we've had with them and things, that's clearly not the case. Mm-hmm. They value their school district, and they've gone above and beyond to try to familiarize themselves mm-hmm. with what's going on in our district, so I really appreciate that.
Sorry, one thing I should point out that I don't remember if I shared or not in doing the reference checks. People I spoke with, it was kind of surprising. They're actually effusive in their praise. I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, they're pretty good. I mean, it was really surprising how strong the recommendations were. So that was good.
Okay. Hopefully we don't really need them, but it's good to have them if we do. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Welcome on board. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers?
Second.
Second by Mr. Luke.
The only thing I'd really point out in there is, you know, July kicked off a new fiscal year, so that the cash flow has been updated with new projections for the year. And really the biggest item that, you know, that has potential to change, I think, would be our state foundation revenue projections. I think the numbers in there right now are conservative, and once we start seeing the funding based on the new state budget take effect in October, hopefully we'll see those numbers change a little bit.
Okay. Let's see. And I know, there was the one new student activity, the Months Old Secret Santa. I know when we had our agenda meeting, Laura was filling in because Todd wasn't able to make that meeting. But just saying, what a great support system they had there, and that that program had just grown to the point where they needed to have their own student activity account, which is nice to see. So. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Finally, I accept a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So
moved. Motion by Ms. Savage?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
You'll see in there our agreement with the bus drivers. We were to reopen for them. In terms of money and union dues, so we were actually able to reach, it was a great negotiation, reach an agreement fairly quickly. So that's up for approval, been approved by the union membership. You also see actually people who started work today but are just being hired by the board tonight. Supplemental contracts, we have volunteers, also bus bids. You're familiar with that.
Right.
Bus stops should have been in the executive session section. We do not publish bus stops for obvious reasons, as well as a softball overnight trip well in advance, I think, is in my section as well.
Every year I go through the bus stops and just, it was 158 pages.
Right here.
Wait, you went through the whole thing?
I scanned down there. And,
okay.
To what purpose?
20.
Yeah.
As a route up the Raymond area, I think bus 6 is someplace in the center of town. It just is mind-boggling.
I know.
They have here the kids were picking up in the morning, here the kids were picking up in the afternoon, the bus is going to start here, it's going to end here, this is the miles it's going to... It's incredibly complex. So I would ask that anyone that has a child riding a bus take a deep breath. I know that they will eventually get to school and will arrive home safely. So...
I did. Any other questions? Then roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, now we are to the questions and comments section. Mr. Smith?
Again, I want to say trauma-informed care. I think the books that were discussed online and so forth, I think our district is, you know, doing things very appropriately for kids. it can be, you know, there can be all sorts of different kinds of trauma with mm-hmm. kids, and they are not going to be successful academically until they are successful and whole as a person. Mm-hmm. And so having resources available for whatever challenge a child faces in our school district is, I think, clearly our responsibility. And I'm very proud of how our teachers, and specifically this example, is looking for ways to have appropriate resources on hand when a child presents a problem. I would also like to say that we've received the goals from our superintendent and our treasurer, and you know, look forward. I think that's going to be a focus of our work session. Sit down, kind of go through those and so mm-hmm. forth. But there was a comment made in the public that our evaluations may be a little haphazard. And I would like to disabuse anybody of that. We set goals. We ask our treasurer and our superintendent to set goals. And then we review twice during the course of the year progress and so forth. So it is, we follow a very specific process that outlines, you know, where we're going to go as a school district. And I think the members of the board independently arrive at a decision concerning that evaluation. And the work that our treasurer and our superintendent have done in the past is just absolutely remarkable. Mm-hmm. Our school district was a very good school district, but we have moved forward and moved beyond where we were, both financially and academically. Mm-hmm. And I am exceedingly proud to serve on this board. Last thing I have, the SROs, they are such a critical component in the development of children, acting as a resource, providing safety, mm-hmm. But also, and more importantly, identifying issues and problems again in children's lives mm-hmm. so we can take action ahead of time to address the issues and problems rather than having to react mm-hmm. to the circumstances that have been created. Mm-hmm. And so more power to those people. They are great people. Excited for the fact that we were able to expand that program.
Thank you.
Giving me some time to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I just want to say welcome back to everyone. That's mm-hmm. the number one concern. We're glad to have everyone back. We have over 30 new staff members mm-hmm. Joining the district. So really excited to have some new people coming in. Seems like some very young, middle-aged, and even older, but very enthusiastic mm-hmm. People joining the district. So much appreciated. Thank you to the SRO program and the partnership with the Marysville Police Department. Keeping our kids safe is really our number one concern. Social emotional health can't be mm-hmm. emphasized enough. It's a huge problem in society as a whole. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we're doing something to address that issue. So that's it.
Thank you.
Very much for your presentation, for developing it. The kids, I agree with Nan that I see it all the time. And as they have graduated and now are underneath my area, that if they would have had this before, that maybe it could have been drilled down and issues taken care of before they got out of high school. So I thank you very much for that. And looking forward to another year. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that's jumped out at me this meeting was people not stopping for flashing bus lights. Mm-hmm. So, for what it's worth, I'm going to speak right into the microphone. Stop for flashing bus lights. I didn't even know that was an issue, Dick.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited that the school year has started. I've got two teenage girls at home. They've been doing a lot of shopping. I did not know how many outfits were required to get through a school week. I'm learning. They may not feel that they're ready, but they're going to be out the door tomorrow. And they're going to be there whether you guys are ready or not. So I'm excited about that. It's been a long summer. And I'm looking for a break. But I am looking forward to greeting and thanking our teachers personally in the buildings in a couple of weeks, because I know how much they put into this, and it all comes down to that, and I'm very grateful for another year coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Nothing to add?
I'd just like to thank Ashley and Chris. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that the two of them are off the month of July, and they didn't take a day off all summer to prep for our integration to UC. I think they might have downplayed that a little bit in their presentation, but we wouldn't be where we are today with prepping. And there will be hiccups, and parents will get frustrated, and teachers are going to be frustrated because it's a new platform.
Right.
And we just need to accept that. It'll phase Schoology out eventually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And depending on the building, there is no Schoology this year, so it's been a student by student upload, course by course upload, K through 12. So a huge undertaking, and they've done amazing work without anything extra. So thanks to both of you. Excited for the school year. Couldn't agree more. I would say everyone be cautious on the road with the bus. We had some. You're not used to buses being out, not used to kids being out. It's still dark out when they get picked up, those kind of things. So reminder to be extra cautious.
Okay. I wanted to have a little shout out for the convocation video, too, if anybody watched that.
Love that.
I know. You guys do an amazing job. But it is nice to see all the different building principals introducing their new staff. So at least you have a little picture. And I happened to be... I had stopped at Leon's to get a gift card, and I walked in, and there were a group of Edgewood teachers there, and I'm like, you're a new teacher, aren't you? Because I remember just seeing your picture, and so it was our new art teacher. It's nice to have that going out. And what else? I just want to say good luck to all of our fall extracurricular teams and groups. So that's going to be exciting. And I second everybody on the SROs. It's just amazing what they do in our district. We're really fortunate to have those kinds of partnerships. Also want to let people know that we have some delegates from our sister city, Yoree, in town just for a few days. They actually just kind of helped to come and celebrate Marysville's birthday. So another reminder for all of us, Marysville is celebrating its 200th birthday this weekend. So there's going to be a big party uptown tomorrow and Saturday. So come on down there and enjoy. Let's see. Well, I also want to kind of shout out for the Monarch Monthly. I thought it had some really good information about how the stadium project is being paid for. I thought that really spelled it out in nice detail, so that, kind of a reminder to people we're not using tax dollars, that it's money that's either donated or excess TIF monies. Let's see. And I know you had made some comments about that one editorial that was questioning some of our decisions. And I just also wanted to point out that there were several comments in there that were not completely accurate. Mm-hmm. So just always encourage people, if they have questions, make sure that they're doing some research and contacting the board office, contacting us if they have questions. So I want to make sure that they have the right information.
Right. Because if you see the goalpost pointed in the wrong direction.
My husband came home from football practice like, Sue, you're not going to believe it. The goalposts are in backwards. I'm like, well, let me double check that,
Call and ask a question and you'll get the information.
That's right.
I want to say one more thing. I forgot. Officer Hardy, how he's talking about the kids and stuff like that. I saw him out of the school realm. And several kids
be feet to get to him.
Right.
To talk and just hang out with him and everything else. So it does, it shows you outside of the class, you know, the school itself too, how they're clinging to these people.
Yeah. So. All about relationships, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smith, second by Ms. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we are adjourned at 8:40.